Hey guys, how you doing? Okay. Hey snowman, what's up?
Oh man,
312 inches and counting.
Ooh man.
Well, hopefully you're done with it, but there's some nasty weather coming your way. But
what?
Well, maybe not. Maybe it's not going to hit you.
We've all been intentionally ignoring the weather service lately. We were for weeks and weeks there. Mm-hmm. Again, I'll wait till the show starts.
Okay. Yes,
yeah. I have something significant to say there.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night QRM. Your hosts tonight are Jash, Barry J, Barty, and Michael, the virtual Youper. Tonight, 312 inches since January. Guess who's going to WWDC? And chatting heads? Really, Facebook? All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire. Here's Jash, Barry J, Barty, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM, show number 92 from the very spring, almost summer-like, southwest corner of New Hampshire, where it's green everywhere, and birds, and wildlife, and everything else are just hopping around, enjoying the beautiful 70-plus degree weather. I'm Barry J.
And from the wonderfully also spring, nearly summer-like, southeast corner, where the riding was fantastic today, this is Jash.
And from the Tug Hill Plateau in central New York, this is Barty, where we still have snow stashed around here and there, and the grass is still brown and flattened. But we do have some birds coming around, and I've got mallards mating in my pond, so that means it's officially spring in Redfield.
And still, what is this green stuff you speak of? I'm Michael, the virtual Youper, where the average snow depth is still 2 to 3 feet.
By the way, I went to tell you, Michael, my wife, Anne-Marie, sends her condolences to you.
On what?
Well, the death of Youper Spring.
Yeah, it just failed to install this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you're going to be rid of that snow until summer hits.
That's actually a real possibility.
Oh, God. that is horrible. Jeez. So did you get any snow this week?
Actually, yeah, we did. I think last Sunday I said our snow accumulation was like 280. And by this weekend, we have now 312 inches for the year. But we finally, and I don't remember what day it was this week, but I finally woke up and looked at the weather forecast. And for the first time, it seems like months, and it may have been months, I looked at the weather forecast and there were no watches, advisories, or warnings. And I went, hallelujah! We have been averaging a snowstorm every 3 days for several months now.
Wow.
And it did hit 60 today. The snow is melting. So much so that I can't walk from the house here, not without waders on. I just drive. So I think there may be some hope yet, but it's still 2 to 3 feet deep in most areas out there. Right around our house it is.
Wow, that's incredible. Jeez. Well, it'll come soon. Don't worry. You'll be able to see the ground once more because, after all the mountain bikers are going to be up there soon.
They're already coming up.
You're kidding.
They're a little bewildered.
I bet.
Oh, that's incredible. And any chance they're going to be putting the bell back in soon?
Yeah, they should be. It's not in yet, but they should be coming back. That the harbor, the lake is open to shipping, so they should be back with the bell pretty soon.
Okay.
And what was it else? Cripe, I just lost it as soon as I was thinking about it. But I did some calculations this morning. It's been about 6 months since the snowmobile trails were first groomed.
Wow.
Wow, that's incredible. 6 months of snow.
Since they were groomed, you know, there had to be a couple feet of snow before they would groom them.
Oh, man. Okay, 7 months of snow. Wow, and it's almost May.
Yeah. And it normally starts snowing again in the end of September.
Oh, my gosh.
That's incredible. That's just...
Okay, let's get off this happy subject.
Let's first talk about the WWDC. The first news was tickets went on sale at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Was it last Thursday?
Yes.
Okay, Thursday. And they were sold out in 1.5 minutes.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, 90 seconds. And Michael was ready. He was prepared. He logged in and...
Well, we got to back this up a little bit, you know. Sherman set the Wayback Machine. So, yes, I get the notice as an Apple developer the day before. This is new for Apple. Normally, they just say, tickets on sale now, and everybody goes, you know, rushing. Well, they gave us a little bit over 24 hours notice because it was like 5 a.m. Eastern time when I got the message that they would be going on sale at 10 a.m. Pacific time on Thursday. So I got up early. I had the Mac Mini. I changed my home pages to the WWDC ticket purchase page. I'm getting everything all set. You know, 15 minutes before, I brew my cup of coffee, take a sip of it, and spit it out, forgetting that my wife had just cleaned the hot water pot with vinegar. So I'm like, oh, this is a bad omen. I don't have time to make another cup of coffee. So I grab a can of soda from the refrigerator, which is... I don't drink soda that much. So I come walking down to the office here, and I've got the Mac Mini up. I've got the laptop up. I've got my WWV running in the background, so I know exactly what the universal coordinated time is. I've got my atomic clock. I've got my hand on the return key kind of synchronized so that I could just hit it just at the right moment, because it really is a lottery whether you're even going to get that page asking if you want to purchase a ticket. So I'm watching, and 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, wait 3 seconds, hit return, and the page comes up on my laptop and says, do you want to buy a ticket? I'm like, yes, I want to buy a ticket. And I hit it, and there's a ticket in my cart. And I'm like, woohoo! So I go to my cart, and I'm starting, like, so the problem is the ticket's $1,600.
Oh,
that cannot, that cannot come out of my personal finances. So where most people who were doing this just go ahead and hit buy, I had to go to use alternate credit card. So I'm entering in the credit card as fast as I can from the company, and I get the credit card number in, and I get the expiration date in, and I'm about to enter the secret code, and my screen goes, bloop. We're sorry, there was an error in your transaction. Please refresh the screen. I'm like, and I hit the refresh in the screen, and my card's empty. And I'm like, no! So I go to my Apple account, and I look at my cart, and my card's empty. And I refresh the screen again, and it says, we're sorry, tickets are all sold out, but you can view us online. And I'm like, I don't want to. Okay, so anyhow, I take a couple deep breaths, and I go, well, crap. So I do what any other discouraged Apple developer would do at that point, and I start the download of the new SDK from Android. And I then... And I take a long walk outside, and I think this is a good time to go for a run. So it's running from the house right now is not a good idea because the amount of snow. So I throw my running shoes in my Jeep, and I drive to town and stop at the post office to see the postmistress, a.k.a. my wife. And she's like, I didn't expect to see you so early. And then she looks at my face, and she goes, oh. I'm like, yeah. I said, they sold out in 90 seconds. And then I proceed to tell her, with the pictures and circles and arrows on the back of each paragraph, you know, and then the whole Alice restaurant story, and tell her what happened.
Yeah.
And I'm going for a long run. So I go for a long run. I come back, and my Android SDK is downloaded, and like, I'll look at that later. And I really just didn't have a lot of enthusiasm the rest of the afternoon to actually have the ticket in my cart and lose it. So I make dinner that night, and we're just sitting down to eat, and the phone rings. My wife picks up the phone, and she looks at it, and she looks at the caller ID, and she's got this questioning look on her face, and she hands it to me. Phone's still ringing. She didn't answer it. And I pick up the phone, I look at it, and the caller ID says Apple Inc. Really? So I answer the phone, and I said, hi. And guy on the other end goes, is this Michael so-and-so? I'm like, yeah. We're from Apple Developer Support, and we noticed that you had a ticket in your cart this afternoon and during the purchase time and weren't able to complete your transaction. Are you still interested in a ticket? Well, let's see here. Yes! they then tell me there's going to be another 12 hours, and I should be getting an email. Well, it took 24, actually. 16 hours into it, they called me on a phone that has caller ID, so I now have their direct number. So I called it. I just like, the hell with this. I'm calling. I call them up, and they're, yeah, we're having some problems with our email confirmations for the people that got messed up. What's your name again? And I tell them, oh, yeah, don't worry. You're on the list. Which I kind of figured anyhow, because despite the fact that I didn't have a ticket, I got a email invitation to a private party at WWDC that morning. So people already had me on a list somewhere. Oh, but wow. The invitation finally did show up. I was able to complete the transaction, spent $1,600 of the company's money, and I should be receiving my confirmation soon. But yes, it was... it was an up and down 36 hours, so much wow. So that I have created the podcast that shall not be named, Episode Zero. It's in final editing and will be out soon.
Looking forward to it.
So if you go to the podcast that shall not be named, you'll actually wind up on a landing page now. So.
Oh, cool. We'll have to check
that
out.
So that's my WWD story.
Wow, and you weren't the only person that had that problem, because the second story here was that Apple was actually offering WWDC tickets to some of the other people. So apparently it was a problem going
but
on.
But it doesn't sound like, from what I'm hearing, there were only a couple of dozen calls made.
Hmm.
And all of us had the same complaint. We had the ticket in our cart.
Right.
So... because you can't purchase a ticket if there wasn't one available to purchase.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah.
So the news stories are like, Apple's calling select developers. Like, well, no, I was select because I had a ticket in my cart. But I'll take...
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, jeez. Really.
So now we have a correspondent at WWDC this year.
Yeah, it's going to be...
exactly right.
No comment. Sorry, no comment. NDA.
Oh, no. But you can tell us about... you are. You can tell us about the keynote speech. They allow the press in for that.
Yes, yeah.
And I'll tell you what. As far as any of the other stuff you go to, the listenership, you know, all 3.4 of them will probably not care. So, yeah. So, but that's great. I am so glad you got in. Wow.
It's yeah, so am I.
I'm stoked.
Wow. Awesome.
That is cool. Well, it is I went and grabbed show notes today, and literally today. So they are all kind of basically, there was a lot of stories about Apple, so it is an Apple-filled podcast. And our first story. What's that?
I was waiting for it.
And our first story past WWDC. And by the way, for our 4.3 listeners, WWDC is Worldwide Developers Conference that Apple holds every year. And so I meant to say that in the beginning because, well, not everybody knows what the hell does. Well, what the hell's it going to DC for? You know?
No, it's
and,
not.
Not to mention that it's also a good time to buy Apple stock, because it's the lowest it's been in a number of years.
Yeah, for no particular reason either, because they're selling stuff, tons of stuff. I mean, everything is good, but for some reason, we expected them to be better. Okay,
yeah,
better than making how many billions?
Yeah, they only made $9.5 billion this quarter. That's all.
We expected them to make $11 billion. So your stock's down.
They've been dropping some of their stock levels on things because there were newer products that are going to be coming out in the fall, and they've had production problems with some of the iMac models, so they're not selling as many iMacs as they had projected, you know. But they have very complicated screens. The graphics are quite a bit different, and the construction method for that ultra thin iMac bezel and stuff takes a little bit more work. So I guess a lot of the manufacturers are just having a harder time keeping up.
Yeah, Tim Cook actually said that he now says that they probably put the new iMac out a little before they should have.
Yeah, I read that as well.
So, but because they've been having a lot of problems getting it to people on time. But yeah, these displays, I mean, there's, you know, with the Retina displays and super thin and all that stuff, they're tough to make, apparently.
Well, they changed the way they make them. I forget the details, but rather than the process they were using before, they're using a much more difficult process that makes it more energy efficient and a bit sharper. And that whole thing kind of it takes a whole lot more work. It's one of the reasons they were able to make the iMac even thinner.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the previous iMac really wasn't very thick.
I know.
You know?
No.
And it's got this bulge in the middle where the actual computer is. So, you know, it's, well, all the, even the TV, TV sets are going that way now. I mean, if you look at some of these new flat screen TVs, the LCD ones, and I don't know how they stand up and they don't fold over on themselves because they're so freaking thin now, you know?
Yeah, I've seen some of those. You know, pretty impressive.
Yeah, you know, it's like you got to attach them to something, otherwise they wobble too much. You know, don't put them next to the bass. You know, the subwoofer. Screen yeah, shakes. So, but yeah, that's incredible. Well, in other Apple news, actually, this is more of a Facebook for iOS, but. Of course, we talked about a couple weeks ago that Facebook came out with their home screen for Android phones, which basically turns your Android phone into a Facebook phone. That's as far as they're going to go. They're not going to come out with their own phone. But of course, they can't do that on the iPhone because Apple won't let them take over the homepage. Won't let anybody take over the homepage, but they did come out with an upgrade to their Facebook app, and they've got what everybody's talking about and simply loves, and I find it totally annoying as hell, the chat heads.
They suck.
They do. I haven't even messed with them.
I think Mike hit the nail right on the head, and that head should be disappearing.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
What is
it's
a
annoying?
Chat head?
Oh, you tap on... a person's... Before, you used to be able to go over to an icon of a person, and you tap on it, and it would take you to their... It used to take you to their homepage. Well, they changed that. Now you got to go from some other place, which I still haven't figured out yet. But I tapped like I normally do, and all of a sudden, their head shows up in this circle that you can move around on the display. But what it does is you tap on their circled head, their chat head or whatever, and it automatically brings up a little bubble that you can, you know, chat with them live.
Huh.
And it's so annoying. I mean, it's yet another reason why I wish more people would move over to Google Plus.
Mm-hmm. And it stays
well,
on
you know,
screen.
The chat head would have been fine if they had asked people ahead of time, hey, we're thinking about developing this feature. Does this sound like something you're interested in?
Right.
You know, and we could have all told them, hell no, stop it. You know, but we, you know, but they just do this stuff. And it's like, really? Why do you have to do this?
I don't know. It's annoying. Michael, what were you saying?
Well, it, once that chat head comes up, it stays on the screen until you figure out how to get rid of it.
Yeah.
You have to drag it down to the bottom center.
Oh, well, you have to find the X to delete it. Now, overall, exactly. I mean, I made a comment on Facebook yesterday, which pained me to say, but they did make some changes, both in the web page and on the iOS app. I haven't tried Facebook for Android yet, at least not the new version. But one thing they brought back to iOS, which as much as it pains me to say, I will say something good about Facebook. In the iOS app, they have brought back the ability to sort the news feed the way you want it. You used to be able to be what they, you know, you could go by Facebook's algorithm, whatever they thought was important for you to see, or whatever was most recent, which is the way I want it.
Hmm.
And yeah, the old Facebook iOS app, you could pick most recent, and it would show you most recent, and then it would reset to their algorithm every time you close the app and come back. Same thing with the web page. Now the web page, for the most part, remembers what you asked it to do as far as what order you want to see things, and they've given you an option back in the iOS app to see, okay, how do I want my news feed to be displayed. That being said, all this rewrite has made the app very slow on my iPhone 4.
Hmm.
So those are my comments. Yeah. I hate the chat heads. They've added some new features. It's gotten very cumbersome and it's very slow.
The other thing I noticed, and I just tried this because I accidentally discovered the chat heads, and much to my chagrin, couldn't figure out a way to get rid of them. Finally, I got ticked and I just swiped it to the right because I figured out let's push it all the way over the thing. And when I swiped it to the right, it disappeared. Now, either that gets rid of them, or I have a bunch of chat heads sitting over on the far right side.
They're all we're over here.
I think that the last case might be what you really have.
Maybe
the only way to get rid of them is to drag them down to the bottom center. And there's a spot that you can drag them to, and they'll disappear.
An invisible spot, right?
No, when you get about halfway down, it shows up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll have to play with it a little more. Not that I want to. Yeah.
I haven't done it much on the iPhone, but I've messed with it on the iPad, and that's the way it works on the iPad app.
Okay. Yeah, I found it on the iPhone, and they're very annoying on the iPhone because the screen's so small, and you know, it's just blocking what you're trying to look at. So, not a premium thing, I would say, on a small display, because it just overlays on top of stuff you're trying to look for. Now, on the other hand, another app which I absolutely love, use it every day.
Me too.
It has changed the way I look at email now, is Mailbox. And if you were waiting for an invite, you had a reservation and were waiting for an invite to Mailbox, well, the reservation system has now officially been dropped. Anybody can go get Mailbox and join up with the best way to look at your email that I've found so far.
Yeah, you talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. It's
I don't really get what the whole big difference, I mean, what the whole big advantage over the built-in mail app is.
My main thing is that there's stuff that I want to read later on, and it clutters up inside the inbox. And so, therefore, when I go to check my mail at different times during the day, I'm still looking through, seeing the old email and trying to find the new email. And this just lets me organize it better. Like, I can say, yes, I'm going to keep this around. Show it to me tonight. Send this. I can throw them in lists if I want, so I can go look at the list at a later time. But it just gets it out of the main mailbox. So,
well, with email on my iPad, I don't really get that worried about it, because mostly I organize it on my desktop. So any email that comes in, like while I'm at work or away from my desktop, I just kind of let it sit there. And if it's email I really don't want to see again, I just go ahead and delete it. And otherwise, I just let it sit in the inbox until I get back to my desktop, and then I put it where I want it. You know, and usually, because everything syncs up, whatever I do on my desktop shows up on the iPad later. So I don't really worry so much about it, because the iPad is only kind of like temporary viewing until I get back to my desktop.
I work differently. I check my email almost exclusively on my iPhone. And I almost read all my email on my iPhone. So
I don't really do a whole lot on the iPhone because the screen's so freaking small. You know, I'll do everything on my iPad, but I don't use the iPad as like permanent storage. I use my desktop for that because I'm on the desktop day and night, you know, and everything happens on my desktop. And the iPad is kind of like an extension of the desktop while I'm away from the desktop.
Yeah. And it depends on how much mail you get. I get on an average of about 100 pieces of mail a day. And some of it I actually do want to look through. So, you know, you swipe to the left and you can save it for another time. You swipe to the right and it deletes it. So, or archives it, actually. Yeah. And so...
Yeah, well, I'm the same way because I've got multiple email accounts for different things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't really want to manage the email on my iPad. I want it all managed and stored on my desktop because that gets backed up to two different places. It gets backed up to Time Machine backup, and then it gets backed up online. So, you know, I want everything on the desktop because it gets archived and saved in two places, whereas the iPad, it only gets... Well, I guess the iPad gets backed up to my desktop when I'm at home.
Well, the other thing, too, is I'm all Google. Gmail. And so you use an IMAP anyway, so you really don't get anything on your desktop anymore. It's all up in the cloud. So, you know, IMAP is everything.
Yeah, but you can still drag
server.
It to local folders.
Oh, you can if you want. I don't do that. Keep it up in the cloud. Because well, that way it's...
Whether you drag it to a folder or not, it still stays up there, because you can always go to all mail. Mm-hmm. And everything's there.
Well, that's why I keep it up there, and I never delete anything. I just archive it, because Google search works so well inside Mail that, you know, I just go there, and if there's something I've forgotten to tag or something, I can just do a search, and it, you know, it goes through all my archived mail and finds hits, and I can.
I'm not really very Googleized. So, you know, I use a lot of Gmail. The majority of my email accounts are all Gmail. Mm-hmm. I don't really use it that way. It's like anything I want to keep off of Gmail, I drag to local folders on my desktop. Hmm. You know, so when they come in on my iPad, I just, you know, read them and respond to them and things. And some that I don't really want to keep, I go ahead and delete. And, you know, when I go back to my desktop, the deleted messages don't show up. So, you know, that's good with me. You know, it reduces clutter when I get back home. I don't have to re-delete something that I deleted from my iPad. You know,
it's always worked.
But my desktop is my primary hub. You know?
Well, I don't. A lot of times, I don't use my laptop, or I'll get home, I'll check it. But like I said, most of the time, I'm on my phone, and I do all my management on the phone, just because it's easy. It's right there. I can flip through it. You know, and sort it all out, and then I really only go on use check mail on the laptop is when I want to reread something, possibly pay a bill or something. You know, because I get all my bill notifications in email now.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Yeah, so yeah. But
my laptop only gets used when I travel. So you know, usually when I'm at home, I'll use my desktop at home and my iPad. Mm-hmm. And when I travel, I take the laptop with me and the iPad. And if it's a short enough trip, I'll take only the iPad, mm-hmm. You know, depending on what's going to be going on, you know. Yeah. But, I'm still pretty home-centric.
Yeah, well, I can't afford to be. Especially not so much now, but when I was traveling all over the place, it was nice to have I wish I had actually the mailbox program when I was traveling and stuff, because that would have been nice. I even went on a couple 3-week trips with nothing but my iPad, because it was, you know, I had to take 3 weeks worth of clothes and stuff like that. So,
wow. Yeah, I've been on some of those.
Yeah. So anyway, so the other thing that came out is Google Babel, if they pronounce it right. Most people will say Babel, but it's from the Babel fish. It's a messaging service that Google, I don't know whether it's out yet or not. I couldn't make sense from what they were saying in the short article that was about this. I think it's not out yet, because the article's basically saying when it comes out for Android, and I think it's going to be for desktops and, you know, pretty much any device. It's also going to be coming out at the same time on iOS, and it's a messaging platform that Google's coming out with. I've never heard of HipChat before, but it says it's a HipChat-like group messaging feature set. And so, I don't know, it's Google. We'll see whether it's a hit or a miss, but the fact that they're coming out on all devices and platforms is probably a good thing, which means it may, do something, because there are so many different message programs out there right now. It's just incredible how many different ways you can do it. Of course, I like Apple's the best, because they've got SMS and they've got their iMessage service, and you know, it automatically picks iMessage if it can, and if it can't, it sends, you know, SMS out to people. And I like that, because I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to select. It just does it automatically. Michael and I have been playing around with WhatsApp, which is another popular one that's out there. incidentally, it does come from the BlackBerry, too.
And those are the two that will work without a cell phone tower.
Ooh,
yes.
For the BlackBerry. Ooh.
I think it sends it in Morse code, though.
Mm-hmm. It must. It sends it, and it's written in DOS language. DOS
622. Smoke signals over the hill. Yeah.
Well, that'll work fine for you, Josh.
Honest to God, you know, it could be the greatest thing in the world, and then it sends its signal to a BlackBerry, which replies, "Huh?"
Yeah, I could just see that, though. Josh is holding his BlackBerry there, and he tries to send it through WhatsApp, and all of a sudden the thing starts smoking out the top.
Why is this thing heating up in my hand?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
This little stick figure shows up in the screen with semaphore flags.
Yeah, literally, I could see that happening.
And out of the speaker comes, "No, Mr. Bill, no!
Help me! Help me!"
Yeah, really.
Oh, God.
Seeing that there's a BlackBerry app.
BlackBerry.
Yeah. But it's another app out there. It's just another messaging app. I guess it's better for sending pictures and I guess little voice clips and audio stuff through it. But I haven't really, other than chatting with you, Michael, on it a couple of times, I haven't really seen the benefit of using WhatsApp over, you know, the typical
Instagram.
I do not get Instagram at all.
Neither do I, to be honest.
I mean, it's based on pictures you take and post them, and apparently it's the latest craze for the young folks. They're totally off of Facebook and basically on Instagram and
that's
couple.
That's because all their parents are there watching what they're doing.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a perfect party. I don't want Mom and Dad to see that I went to this party, which was supposed to be a prayer meeting. So put it on Facebook, really. Or Instagram.
Here, take a look at my study group.
Yeah, exactly.
But I've got the thing on. Surprise, surprise! I've got the thing on my iPhone. But I
no, you have that app too. On page 57.
Well, hell, they're all free. What the hell? Yeah.
Now, I don't know why you have to have the iPhone that has the 275 terabyte hard drive.
And the battery life is like 2 hours.
It comes with its own Honda generator attached to it just so it can
run.
There
you go. Not exactly portable anymore, though. He's dragging his wagon behind him with
the generator.
Every time Barry takes his phone out to make a phone call, you hear... in the background. It's like turning on an air conditioner running on a generator. You can hear the motor legs down whenever you start to open another app. You gotta love it. I have an app for that, I think, somewhere.
I don't.
You have to have a separate iPod with a separate filing system in it just to keep track of all the apps on your iPhone.
I have to seriously say that I no longer go and search for apps through the pages. I just go to the first page with the search and type in the first couple letters of the app and then start it from there. It takes me too long to find it on the phone.
That's classic.
But I did also find out that if you can remember the actual name of the app, that you can just hit the Siri button and tell Siri to open the app. Or
but
launch.
You've got 412 apps, all named God only knows what. It's pretty safe to say you're not going to remember the name of it.
Yeah, Siri doesn't either half the time.
There you go. Siri, open that app that I downloaded, I don't know, 6 months ago that had the green dot.
But you know what's funny? Is Siri does keep track of some weird things. Because I use Siri to call my wife a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell her, hey, call Tony at home or call Tony's iPhone. And she'll do that. But every once in a while, I don't know why, she'll come back and say, Tony who? And I'll tell her, the Tony you called yesterday. And she'll get it right and make the call.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I got to try that.
But she doesn't respond to anything back. She just simply makes the call.
Because with me, Siri doesn't understand home very well. Because I'll hit it in the car and I'll say, call Anne Marie. And it'll say, which number would you like to use? Her cell phone or home? And I'd say, home. Pardon me? Home. I did not hear you. Home!
I always say it all in one line. Call Tony at home.
And oh, maybe I should
but,
try
you know,
that.
You know, what's funny is like I didn't really use that much until my previous iPhone, the iPhone 5 that
lost the screen.
I wasn't able to use it for much of anything because the screen, the backlighting was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to depend on Siri, which I hadn't used much before, and I used the hell out of Siri with that because I couldn't type anything because the screen was black.
Did you get another phone?
The only time I could see the screen was at night, you know, because it was like very, very dimly lit.
Yeah.
You know, and I could see some things, but especially if I put some glasses on that were like really thick. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, so I was depending on Siri to do everything on the iPhone because I had to tell her, do this, do that. Call this person, call that person, you know. And when every once in a while she would say, well, that person is not in your contact list. Would you like me to search the web? I was like, no, because I don't know who the hell she's going to connect with from the web. You know? So, you know, I would go through later on and make sure that it was in the contact list and sync up the contact list of the phone, you know. But that's where I got really adept at making phone calls through Siri because it was the only method I had. You know, the company has since replaced that semi-dead iPhone 5 with a 4S. It was just like really weird because, you know, I would just simply tell her, you know, call Tony at home, call Tony's iPhone, you know, and she would make the call. And I would tell her the same kind of thing for other people, you know. The first few times I had to use their full name, I used to have to say, call Tony Bartlett at home. But after a while, she knew who Tony was. And I could just say, hey, call Tony at home. Call Tony's iPhone. You know, and that would work just fine. I could tell her to call my boss and things like that. And all the connections worked just fine, which was wonderful since I couldn't dial the freaking thing because I couldn't see the screen.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I use it in the car all the time. That's where I mostly use Siri, is in the car.
Well, I didn't say I was driving and talking on the phone at the same time.
Never. Well,
against the law in New York.
Well, not if you have an earpiece or Bluetooth.
Oh, no. Even that's against the law in New York. You're this kidding. Is extreme fascism over here.
Wait a minute. Did they change? Because when I was working in New York a year ago, you could talk on the phone.
Oh, God, a year ago. A whole lot of things have changed. Don't bring your guns here, buddy.
No, I have no intention except to visit you and Tony at some point, me and the missus. But, yeah.
That'd be nice.
You know, that's, I'm not going to bring your guns, sure. I'm apprehensive to cross the state line.
Yeah. New York has gotten really, really crazy about gun laws. And right. A lot of municipalities and counties are suing the state, saying, this is not constitutional. You cannot do this to us. Mm-hmm. And they're taking it to court, and they're fighting it.
Good.
Good for them.
Good.
Yeah, it's cropping up all over the place. Well, you know, out here in Redfield, you know, if you want to target practice, you just go out in your backyard and shoot your freaking gun. Nobody really cares, you know? I mean, that's how rural this place
around,
is.
There's nobody around to care.
It's the same thing here.
Yeah, really, you know? I mean, you know, we shoot at our back hill. And like, yeah, okay. Who's going to worry about it? You know, because even if I were to make an errant shot over the hill, I've got like a few hundred or 200 acres of nothing but empty woods behind me.
Yep.
You know, probably even more. I haven't really measured it.
Yeah.
But, there's like nothing back there.
Depends on how you look at it. You say empty woods. I say dinner's probably walking around back there.
We have a lot of does that come in the yard, and I keep thinking, you know, if I could just shoot a doe, I could eat some fine venison tonight.
Exactly. You get your doe license, and you could. You have some fine venison.
Who needs a license? Who's going to know?
I wouldn't. I'm not condoning that, nor will I.
You know, they're in the back hill all the time. You know, one well-placed shot, and it's laying on the ground, and you just drag it off into the woods and drain it and take care of it, and there you go.
You know what I often say to those when having this discussion? Do you know what a compound bow sounds like when it goes off?
Yep.
The way I look at it, if meat shows up in your yard, you should be allowed to eat it.
Right. Look, it's a delivery. No, it's not.
It's DiGiorno.
I can see where you wouldn't want to have a similar ordinance in a city, you know, because you never know what's going to wander in your yard, most of which you don't want, but you probably shouldn't be killing it. Mm. Maybe beating it up a bit.
Yeah, I could say it's very, very different when you live in an urban environment.
And that's the problem, because the people trying to make the laws...
But if you're in an urban environment, you're probably looking around for different sort of Mac accessories and things, you know, and there's like tons of them around. And I guess they're spreading even more into Radio Shack stores.
Yes, they are.
Nice segue.
They are now selling, and I was in a Radio Shack just yesterday, Friday. Friday I was in the Radio Shack, and lo and behold, there were all the Mac accessories on a shelf there. Now, they don't sell the actual Mac computers, but the accessories are all there, which is nice because it's handy, because there's like 4,700 to be exact, Radio Shacks around, and not quite that many Apple stores or Best Buy stores. So it's nice to have it, and I can tell you that they do stick with the Apple price. So, you know, sometimes Radio Shack is a little more expensive than other places.
Well, yeah, but Apple kind of controls their prices.
They do. And so I was glad to see that they still do, even in the Radio Shack store.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, if you feel like going for a nice drive in the country, you can always go driving down 101, or there's another route from Nashua to Salem that you can use, and go to the Rockingham Mall. There's a Radio Shack store there that a really wonderful manager works at. Go in there and ask for Adam. You know, he would be more than happy to talk to anybody from this podcast, the Late Night QRM podcast, and meet somebody else. He's met Jash, and he thinks Jash is a really cool dude, so he ought to meet somebody with a bit more class from this podcast.
Oh, geez, thanks.
Yeah,
so much.
But Michael's not going to be here for a while.
You know, I'm just going to Jash.
I was going to say, Michael's not going to be in the area for a while, so, you know.
Michael's not going to be anywhere for a while till the snowman.
Oh, geez.
When so he's not coming out July.
Soon as the snow melts. July.
Well, that's what I told Michael. I posted on his Facebook page. Yeah, you'll see this green stuff we're talking about probably July.
Yeah, that's incredible. Jeez. Yeah, so if you need the quick stuff for MAP, I'll go to a Radio Shack now. And Yahoo for iOS. Last year they bought a pretty cool company called Sumly. And what this program did was it would take a long document or story that you're reading, and it would shorten it, and you could adjust how short you wanted it, and it would summarize it basically, which was really cool because you could go in and get the gist of the article, and then if you decide you want to read the whole thing, you could use a little bar on the bottom and spread, you know, watch or look at the whole thing, it goes up on how much it summarizes as you move the bar back and forth. Well, Yahoo bought it and it kind of disappeared, and we thought, whoa, that's going to be the end. But actually, Yahoo came out with it, and it's now an iOS app integrated in. So check it out. Yahoo's going to be, there's going to be a few more things on the iOS from Yahoo. I think they've struck a deal with Apple. So. But cool. Suddenly I'm going to check it out. See if they've changed anything.
So. I'd like to see Yahoo come back to where they were, because they have a lot of neat properties that they're just doing not a damn thing with.
Right.
You know, and they used to be such a really cool hub. Yahoo Finance is still a really good place to go for financial information.
Really? They used to have a good news service and everything, and actually with Google doing away with iGoogle here. When's it? July? They're gonna
November.
November. November. That's it. Which I use as my homepage. I would wish Yahoo would come back with a something very similar that you could use for a homepage.
You can. You can use a Yahoo homepage.
Yeah, but it's not as
personalized
as you can do with the iGoogle homepage.
Well, there's a lot of adjustments you can make to it, though. You can customize it to quite a degree.
I'll have to look at it again. I haven't been on it in a while, but when iGoogle came out, it was great because they had all the different, and they had 1,000 apps you could put up there, and or you could just put RSS feeds up there on your own, and that's what I did, and I had all my favorite feeds and stuff right there, it's still my favorite one. Right now, you can't even get to it unless you type in IG after google.com now /IG, because they won't even...
Yeah. I thought that was just me who picked up on that. You click on your homepage, and it doesn't put that /IG in.
No, it goes to the default Google search now.
Right.
And you have to actually go back and put /IG in there to get it. It's still available, but, you know, I don't know why they're doing away with that.
Well, they're replacing it with Google Now. But in order to have Google Now, you have to be using Android.
Yes, well, first thing that Google's supposed to do is do no evil, right? Of course, they're. I will say yeah, they are right. Trying to get it through the Apple App Store right now. Supposedly, they're going to have it. That there was a quirk, or well, there was an argument going on. And Apple says, or actually, Google said, well, we submitted it to the Apple App Store, and we'll see what Apple's going to have to do with it, which Apple quickly replied, said, there has been no such application made yet, and submitted to the Apple App Store. So, yes.
It's a go figure.
there's a little bit of there's a little bit of a war going on there. So we'll see. I've heard good things about Google now. So, but I don't have an Android, so I couldn't tell you. Michael, have you played with it on the Nexus 7?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I'm not guilty of using the Nexus 7 all the time because I have my iPhone, which I live on. Mm-hmm. But what I have played with, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And doesn't Debbie tout Android phone around?
She has her Android phone around, and I have my old Android phone that I use as an iPod. iPod-like device. It does everything an iPod does, except I just can't make a phone call with it because I had the server shut off on it.
Have you tried...
Can you hook it to iTunes?
You know what? That's one thing I haven't tried to do. Oh, I think I did, actually, because I download the podcast from iTunes to the phone. But I use a different app. I use Beyond Podcast.
Okay.
So you can't automatically sync it just by plugging it in?
Not an Android, I doubt.
No.
Because they've got their own music. They've got Google Play, don't they, or whatever.
Something like that. I don't know. I usually go straight for the RSS feed out of iTunes, and then I just plug it into the app and say, when you're on the home network, download it.
Yeah, yeah. I started using my old iPhone 4 like that. I use it at night to use TuneIn Radio.
Yep, I use that on my BlackBerry,
and
too.
And so I'll fall asleep because it's got a timer, so I'll put it on for 60 minutes and I'll fall asleep listening to different radio stations. Matter of fact, I'm going to give up Anne Marie won't give up her XM radio because she's on the road all the time, but I never use mine anymore to the point that I'm going to let the subscription go on that.
We let our XM subscription go. The biggest complaint I have, if I could pay one fee, only one fee, and receive it on multiple receivers, I'd be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to buy a separate subscription for every receiver you own.
Yes.
Which seems kind of ridiculous to me, because if I'm in my car, I'm listening it in my car only.
Right.
If I'm at home, I'm not listening to it in my car. I'm listening to it only at my home.
You could be sitting in the car in the garage. Ha! Now you're listening to it in two spots. I'm just kidding.
So, you know, that has always been my whole complaint with XM. Is that if you would give me one price for all receivers, no matter how many I have, I would pay it gladly because I enjoy XM. Yeah. I enjoy Margaritaville on there. I enjoy the Grateful Dead channel on there. And there's something or other. It's been a long time since I heard it, but there was Deep Trends or Deep Tracks or something like that that played a lot of classic rock.
Oh, yeah.
Deep Tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I like the comedy channel.
A lot of those things. Yeah. But the thing is, you know, they have... There's only like about a dozen channels I really like, and I listen to them in the vehicle when I'm there, and I would listen to them at home if I didn't have to pay money for a separate receiver.
Right.
So for the time I spend in a vehicle, it's not really worth time to spend on a subscription. Because I had a 1-year free thing when I bought the Jeep, and I really enjoyed it. But the thing is, you know, I'm more interested in listening to my iPod when I'm going to and from work.
Uh-huh.
And I really didn't listen to the XM a whole lot. If I could have gotten it at home and been able to, like, listen to it in the morning when I'm getting ready for work and then jump in the Jeep and continue what I was listening to at home, that would have been awesome. But I don't want to pay two subscription prices for that. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, the best they do is if you have multiple... radios, they give you a slight discount on the second.
Yeah, I don't want no discount.
Yeah, I know.
One price, unlimited.
I agree with you, Barty, 100%, because my wife got it built into her car, and of course she wants it in the car. And I said, well, then you're going to give up the portable one, right? And she goes, no, I want that too. I said, well, are you that's you know, two plus mine is three. So, and they're not cheap. I mean, I guess, I don't know, because I always pay...
$20 a month or something like that?
It's less than that, but I always pay them bi-yearly. Well, mm-hmm. Two of them I pay for them for 2-year subscriptions. every 2 years, and the car I decided not to. The car I pay for once a year because it's a little bit cheaper. You get a discount if you do it like that. But still, I mean, it's like, you know, I got three radios and I'm paying for a service for three different radios. And
it's the exact same service.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I hate about it. You pay for the exact same thing three different times, you know, and like you're only listening to the thing on one or the other. Yeah. Well, I guess in the case of you and Anne Marie, there might be two at a time being used.
Right.
But with me, my wife has no interest in it, you know, so it was always either I was listening to it. I would either be listening to it at home, listening to it in my vehicle, or maybe listening to it at work if I had a separate receiver that I plugged into something, you know? I would never have two of them going at once. So to me, it was like, this is a waste. And I told them that. This is the reason why I'm not renewing, is because I cannot get one price for multiple devices.
Yeah.
And if I could get like one price for like two devices, that would be okay, because I could have one for home and one for the vehicle. That would be cool, you know? I'd prefer to have like three or four, so I could have one for each vehicle and a home and one portable one.
Yeah. And with all the different services that are available to smartphones now, I mean, before it was kind of scarce, but now you've got all the music services, you've got podcasts, you've got streaming radio. You can listen to almost any radio station in the United States and now around the world.
Who listens to radio anymore?
I do.
I haven't listened to radio since 2005 when I discovered podcasting.
I do. I don't in the car, but I do when I fall asleep. And the only reason I don't listen to podcasts when I'm falling asleep is because I don't want to miss the podcast. So I don't listen to it because I'll fall asleep during the middle of one.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, so there's a great oldie station in Philadelphia that I sometimes fall asleep to. And it sounds like an old Boss Jock channel almost. That I'll tune into that one, or I'll tune into, actually I'll tune into the Keen station, and which sounds a lot better on my iPhone than actually over the air, because it's AM over the air, and I'll listen to Coast to Coast as I'm falling asleep. The thing I like to do is I always set the alarm to go off early, and I like to listen to the news. Well, I like actually listen to the Keen station, because not only do they have national news, but they also go through the local news too. So in the morning, you know, I'll be waking up and I'll just, you know, catch the news, and then I get up and take my shower and stuff like that. So,
well, how close to you does the Keen station report local news?
Well, Keen, which is and
12 miles up the street.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's a little more than 12 miles, but I would think they would go about as far as Peterborough, but not so much into Mount Monadnock.
Keene's 12 miles from my house.
12 miles from Jaffrey.
Yeah.
No downtown. Kidding. Really? Yeah. Is it that close?
I am south and a little bit west of Peterborough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's literally from Jaffrey to the Vermont border. He's there in 20 minutes.
Well.
25. Right, yeah, up to Keene.
25 to half hour, depending on the traffic. I can get over. Yeah. I can be in Brattleboro, and a little of about 40 minutes. I can be up. What's the other crossing up Route 10? There. I can't think of it.
No,
the other, the end of Vermont.
Oh, not Bradford, not Brattleboro, not.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of the town. Falls. No,
Bellows Falls.
Yeah,
Bellows Falls.
Yeah,
they used to have a train thing there.
Mm-hmm. They do, still. I think
it's still there.
It's kind of neat because you go under the train tracks, right? Well, I don't know. You go under the train tracks. The train tracks are there, and there's a Dunkin' Donuts right there in a gas station. And Anne-Marie used to have to go up there for business a lot, and she remembers one time she was stopping in Dunkin' Donuts, and all of a sudden she sees the train coming up, and it slows down. It comes to a stop. The engineer jumps out, runs over to Dunkin' Donuts, gets some coffee and some donuts, and jumps back in the train and freight train. So, but it's pretty close. And speaking about Vermont, if you want extremely fast broadband, kind of like on the Google level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we keep hearing about Google going next big town. Everybody's happy is Austin, Texas. It's where Google Fiber is going to go. Well,
Adam Curry is.
Yes. Well, Vermont telephone companies already have gigabit internet service. For
no way.
For $35 a month.
Get out of here.
Yeah, $35 a month.
Don't you pay more than that for cable?
Yeah, it's incredible. But yeah, and they've only got about 600 subscribers so far. But
most of those towns, you know, only have like 50 or 60 people.
Well, I was going to say 600 people in Vermont, that's about half their population, isn't it? So yeah, it's incredible when you think. And now, you know, of course, I haven't really visited northern Vermont, now, you know, where there's more people living. But down at our end of Vermont, it's like, you know, house, cow, 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 house, cow, cow, cow. There is actually more cows in Vermont than there are people. So
yeah, parts of New York are like that up here in central New York. Of course, where I'm at, it's mostly trees. Very few cows, very few houses, just lots and lots of trees.
Yeah. But, yeah, I was surprised, you know, Vermont, of all places, having
you know, too bad there weren't some high-tech jobs there. I'd think about moving there.
I like Vermont. It's nice.
Yeah, I really enjoy Vermont, too. It's a very beautiful state, and I like a lot of their a lot of their government priorities. They will not allow fast food restaurants to proliferate in every little village and hamlet. They very carefully control them and only put them in the larger cities. They limit where Walmart can go because they don't want to destroy the small town downtown areas that they have.
Yeah,
you know, you go to a place like Brandon, Vermont, and go visit there. It is such a picturesque, typical New England small town. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's that way because there aren't any fast food restaurants around. There aren't any McDonald's or other big box stores around. You know, it's just a very small, quaint little New England town where everybody knows everybody.
With a mom-and-pop restaurant or diner.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, it was like that's where my kidney donor, my sister-in-law, lives. And on the anniversary of the kidney transplant, my wife and I went up there. And we called up a local florist that was just down the street from where the donor works, and ordered a dozen long-stem pink roses for her. That was her preference.
Yeah.
So we drove over there and picked up the flowers, and they just kind of asked us, you know, because we're, you know, from way the hell away and halfway across New York. They asked us, well, why are you coming here to pick up flowers? And, you know, we told her, it says, well, you know, this is my wife's sister was the one that donated the kidney to me. And this is the 1 year anniversary. So we wanted to make it special for her. And they all knew who she was. They had all known. And their first reaction was, oh, you're the kidney guy. It just kind of blew me away. They totally knew who I was and what the whole story was. And they thought this was so fantastic. Mm. And it was kind of neat, you know, because they were like close friends with her and things. So, you know, my wife and I was thinking, well, okay, this is kind of cool. We went down and we met with her sister, and we gave her the flowers, and we hung around and visited for a while. And they sell wine there, so of course we bought some rather excellent wine. And then we went down to a store about two doors down that sold miscellaneous things from local artists. And we picked up a couple of items, and the person, when we gave them the credit card and our telephone address, our telephone number and address and things, she could tell we were from out of town. Mm-hmm. And she asked why we were here, so we told her. And it turns out that she's actually good friends with Tony's sister.
Oh, wow.
So, and she thought, she was so blown away that we would come all the way over to there just to give her some flowers and things like that. So, and of course, Since then, we've heard from Nikki that this whole thing has been buzzing all over town. You know, that the two of us showed up there to give her some roses and things like that. You know, and it's just the charm of a small town in New England. You know, it's just really kind of neat. You know, I guess, Michael, from the way you've talked, you get a lot of that up in Copper Harbor as well, because it's so small and such a small population.
Yeah. I would say so. It's one big family here, for good and bad. You know, but even the bad side of it, you live so close together, you got to work things out.
Yeah, I mean, a small town, it is neat, and Vermont definitely has lots of small towns all over the place. I you know, we drive through there, and it's like, yeah, my wife and I like to take a pilgrimage up to the Vermont Country Store a couple times a year. And which I love that store. It's just got all this old stuff, new stuff too, but they've got great, a whole thing of, here's the diabetic talking about candy. They've got this old, you know, thing and the malted malt or malt balls and, you know, all the different kinds of penny candy and stuff like that they used to have. They have toys from when we were kids. There, you know,
Mary's insulin pump has a burnout.
But they have so many neat things there. It's such a fun store to go to. But
you know, Barry, when I was a kid growing up in New Hampshire, New Hampshire was very much like Vermont.
Oh, I believe it.
New Hampshire was that they did not control things as tightly as Vermont did.
Yeah,
they allowed fast food places to open up anywhere willy nilly, and big box stores anywhere that they could make a buck, and. Everybody from Massachusetts that hated Massachusetts moved into New Hampshire and quite quickly turned New Hampshire into almost Massachusetts.
Yeah, I know. That always cracks me up when they do things like that. It makes no sense.
Those assholes that stayed home, we would be very much like Vermont.
Yeah.
Because the New Hampshire I grew up in was very, very similar to Vermont.
Yeah, and I guess northern New Hampshire is still that way. If you go all the way up.
There's nothing up there to attract a lot of aimless idiots, you know?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to live up there, you got to be serious about it, because it's very, very rural and things like that.
It's very nice. But speaking of living in small towns or towns that don't have potentially cable and you don't want to pay the exorbitant prices of satellite TV...
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a small company, we talked about it before, called Aereo, that came out, and it was only in the New York City area, and you probably heard about it on the news, because every frickin' network, local station in New York is trying to sue them out of existence, because they claim they're stealing their content and making money on it, when in fact, their business is to rent an antenna.
Yes.
And present that signal over the internet to the subscriber.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do. And they've got apparently thousands of these little 1-inch antennas up there. And, excuse me, you get your signal from them. Sorry, excuse me. And they don't add anything. They don't add their own any kind of thing. It's just what you receive off your rented antenna. Translated into onto the internet, so you can receive it on any device you want to, and the, you know, the local stations and the networks are all claiming they're stealing their content. So the first go around in the court, the Aereo won, which is really pissing off the local stations and the networks to the point where Fox stations are saying, oh, well, we'll take our off on the air, or we'll take our on the air channel off, and we'll only provide the network stuff on cable and satellite, and we'll substitute really crappy shows on the over the air signal. So that's what they're talking about doing. Of course, it's just a threat.
Doesn't Fox generally broadcast only crappy shows anyway?
Yeah, there's not much. You don't find too much good on Fox.
I mean, I think the only good thing to watch on Fox is what? Sports?
And The Simpsons, probably. And even that's 24 years old now. 25. But, well, good news. Aereo announced that after they won the court case in New York that they were planning to expand
And the next place they're expanding to is Boston.
Yes, but does that include us in New Hampshire?
We're in the Boston market.
Yay!
So you should be able to.
Well, Nashua might be, and possibly Manchester, but I don't know about out your way, Barry.
Oh, technically, I'm in the Boston market. That's I get the Boston stations, and that's the only stations I'm allowed to get.
That's the only stations you can get. You only have one station in New Hampshire.
I could get Connecticut stations. I could get Vermont stations.
Can you really? I couldn't get those from Nashua.
Well, I can because I'm up on a hill, and I used to have a huge, gigantic antenna that seats 60 birds.
I hear you.
but technically, because I've looked into this, because technically, I at one time the satellite services used to have what they called the national channels. Mm-hmm. And when they put in the laws that said you can only give the local channels to the local people, my national channels disappeared, and they were replaced with Boston channels, which means technically I'm in the Boston market.
It was like the only nearest channels available. One of the biggest gripes that I have is with the satellite television, and if I had cable here, it would probably be the same case. My only options for local television broadcast is Syracuse, which is like 50 to 60 miles away.
Yeah.
Depending upon where the station is located.
Well, that means you're in the Syracuse market, if that's what they're giving
you. Which sucks, because I'm closer to Watertown. And there's a couple of stations in Watertown that I would rather receive than Syracuse, but I have no choice.
Oh, you don't, because Syracuse has that market all sewn up.
Because they bought people off.
Yeah, well.
And it's like people in Utica, there are Utica TV stations that they cannot get on satellite because they're forced to get Syracuse stations.
Yep.
And they have satellites, I mean, they have television stations right in their own city that they cannot receive.
Yep.
What the hell? That's just wrong.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy. But, Josh, I know you're interested in it, but it's May 15th is when it's supposed to be. Check it out. And I think you already pre-registered?
I pre-registered already.
Okay, so you should be getting something soon, hopefully.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm going to jump to the website right now and log in.
Yeah, because technically, we're in the Boston market, and if they don't claim that, then we could go...
They very well may.
Yeah. So, because basically, we only have one TV channel in New Hampshire. Well, we got two. We got three, if you count PBS.
Really?
One. MWR
is the only real station.
Yeah.
I got... but I have channels out of Portsmouth. So you got... I have an antenna hooked up to my flat screen TV.
Well, we're not talking about the Spanish stations now.
No. This is
or the ones that are only on from 8 to 4.
No, it's whatever. Shut up.
Is that where Channel 50 is? Is it Channel 50?
Sure, if you want it to be.
What's the channel?
Wait a minute. Shut up. Let me talk. If you actually go to the website on Arrow, I'm looking at it now. Rockingham County, Hillsborough County, Merrimack County, Stratford County, Belknap County, Cheshire County.
Yeah!
The Boston.
Cheshire Cat.
Cheshire County and the Windham County. So, literally, that's all considered Boston. So, we are right there with it.
Yay! Although, I haven't figured I'm going to cut the cable quite yet on satellite. Cut the cord on satellite yet, but I'm getting close. Getting real close.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's stopping me, personally me, is my wife. Because she likes those HGTV and those home do-it-yourself channels.
Right.
That's what's...
Yeah, we like those too.
Yeah. And if HBO Go...
Well, guys, I really wish I could hang around for that Netflix conversation, because that sounds really good. Being a person who split from Netflix when they said that we're going to have to double your price to give you the same service we've been giving you for the past 6 years.
I know, you're not a Networks fan.
You know, they kind of told me, hey, look, you know, yeah, sorry you've been enjoying this service for the same price for 6 years, but now we're going to double your price. Yeah. And I'm like, you know you're not, because I'm quitting. And I haven't been back since. But I like the things that Netflix have been doing lately.
Yeah, they're bigger.
I think they are kind of kicking the networks in the ass a bit.
They're bigger than HBO now.
They're pointing to the future of mainstream media.
That's right.
It's all going to go to the web.
Yes,
and
it is.
It's all going to be privately developed projects that people are going to be able to watch, download the entire season at a time, and watch it at their leisure.
Yep.
That's the way it should be.
Yep.
Hell with this commercial and all this kind of crap that the networks force you to go through.
Well, you're changing your business structure.
That was my opinion on it. And I got to go.
All right, Barty.
It was great meeting with you three. Sorry I missed last week, but my wife and I were kind of sick. And we were under the weather, so I really couldn't make it. That would have been a hell of a show to bend for. Bend in for.
Well, we
but I'll
we
talk
got
to
it.
You guys on next week, okay?
Okay, we'll see you.
Catch all you right. later.
All right, bye bye. So, speaking of Netflix, because he went into the next topic there. Yes, they are now have more subscribers than HBO. And so that's
I can believe that.
And they came out with a new pricing thing. Currently, if you belong to Netflix, and I didn't quite understand this at first because there's only two of us and we only have two TVs, and I never thought about this, but I guess the default is that you can only stream two Netflix channels at a time into your home on an account.
Yeah, theoretically. They didn't enforce it too heavily, but that's what the contract says.
Right, which I guess if you have a lot of kids and things like that, that makes sense to me. We've never run into a problem. Well, now they've come up with a, instead of $8, if you pay $12, you can have four connections into your house now, which I guess is a good deal.
Yeah, actually, I'm seriously paying attention to this because a lot of times we go over to, and Netflix has never given us a hassle about it, but between my kids with the iPads and...
Yeah.
I mean, I got Netflix for me originally because nobody else was interested, and my kids saw what the content was.
Wow, Dad, that's awesome.
And then my wife's watching movies and shows that she's catching up on. And so occasionally I can tell when we've gone way over because I go on my iPhone. And I watch it on my iPhone, ironically, out of all the devices we've got in the house.
Yeah.
And it'll ask me to log in again. And like, oh, we've gone over again.
Hmm.
But it's never blocked us.
Huh.
Right.
Okay.
But I probably will go for the $12 plan just because we all use the heck out of it.
Yeah.
Right, right. And I find the same thing at my end. It's the kids are a lot of times they have the username and password. And they'll be somewhere other than home and say, oh, I'm going to watch some Netflix while I'm, you know, in the doctor's office in the waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
And they log in because they've got the Wi-Fi. So they're watching it on their phones. We'll have my wife will watch Netflix on the TV in the kitchen and while I'm watching it in the living room. So, yeah, it's a good deal, I think. I mean, like and to exactly what Michael said. You could have it on 2, 3, 4 devices. I think at most we ever had it on was on three different devices simultaneously, and they never, balked at it whatsoever.
Yeah, that's good. I'm gonna stay with the $8 deal because there's only the two of us, and frankly, if I'm not watching it downstairs, I'm up here, and I might be watching it on a laptop or an iPad or something. But worst case scenario, we've got two streams going. Anne-Marie's got one upstairs, and I've got one somewhere else.
Right.
So, but I think it's a great deal. Netflix is really coming a long way.
Oh my God! Yes,
we dropped the DVD part of it. We finally dropped it because it was like I have a DVD that they sent me last November that. I still have not looked at, and matter of fact, since I dropped it, I have to get it to him by May 1st, so it's going in the mail tomorrow.
Right.
Unlooked at. Matter of fact, I think the movie is now available streaming.
Right.
So,
and quite honestly, you have to ask yourself, sure, the last time you took a round piece of plastic with a reflective surface on the bottom of it and dropped it into a tray that sucked into a machine... It wasn't a movie. It was a game that was on it, probably. Right.
And that's going to change soon.
Unfortunately, to many, I'm sure there's going to be several businesses that are going to be quite upset about that, because when the new Xbox comes out, supposedly it's not going to take discs. Well,
it won't have an optical drive on it, but you can have an optical plug-in, so that'll plug okay. into the back of it, so you can still run okay. an optical drive.
Because they're trying to put the whole thing online, which would take out all the secondary game sellers.
Right, and the thing of it is, and I was doing a lot of reading and research on this one.
Okay.
The price of a conventional Xbox 360 and or the one like you have, the black or slim one, but still has an optical drive.
Yeah.
The desirability of those machines is going to go through the roof for just that very same reason. If they don't sell them with an optical drive and they make the optical drive add-on so pricey, what people are doing is like, look, I'll just use an old Xbox 360 and still go to said stores and buy the used games, trade in your old ones, buy a new one.
Right.
And so they're, I can see where they're trying to go with it, but
They're not going to do it.
It's not going to work.
Right away, it you know, because there's going to have to be a changeover. But once the new machine becomes the norm, and then the next one out's not going to have. An optical drive at all, you know, you can see it's coming. And then if you want to get new games, they're not available on discs anymore.
Right.
And, you know, kids are going to want the latest and greatest.
Well, the kids will, right. Yeah. But the neat idea is, you know, your old Xbox 360
can still download.
It can still download. Exactly. So you can still download it and play it.
Yeah. And until the games, until, you know, like I said, not this generation, but the next Xbox generation. Chances are that the 360 won't even, when new games come out for the, not this upcoming one, but the next one.
The 750.
Let's see. Say Xbox 720, so the next one would be, what's 360 times? 1,000.
Yes, 1,000 whatever.
That one, they'll start making games for that, which you will not be able to play on the Xbox 360 anymore. And in other words, you know, they'll sunset the 360 at that time. And that's when you're going to run into problems. Now, granted, that's years off, especially based on how long it took them to come out with a new version of the Xbox since the last one that was made available.
Right.
So, but, yeah, they're going to push it to online because they can charge you for every copy of the game that you want, and you can't resell them.
Right, and you can't sell it off and say, "Okay, now I want to give me, you know, store credit, and I'll apply it towards the next game that I really want."
Right, and it's going to put places like GameStop and some of the other places probably pretty much out of business when that comes around.
Well, it'll take a big chunk out of their business because they also, that's the same place you go to get used iPads.
Okay.
The same place you go to get used iMacs.
See, now that's something that they've just started moving into.
Yep.
So that's what they're going to have to do. They've got a few more years where they got to reinvent themselves, get into some other business. They're probably getting their stuff from Giselle, which is the thing that you can, you know, trade in old equipment to Giselle and they'll give you money for it. I wouldn't be surprised if they're not pushing them out to GameStop and stuff to resell the stuff.
What I can say is, I mean, I thought about, okay, if I'm going to buy an iPad rather than, the iPad Mini, which was, you know, what was it, $200 and some odd, $300, not even $300 at memory. Well, that was $350, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's something like that. I'm thinking,
well, if you just want to get into an iPad for whatever, even if it's a iPad 2, fine, you can go there and pick one up for $100. And now you're in the DI world, which, you know, here, there again, it's a good resource to pick up a good quality used factory refurbished machine.
Yep, especially an iPad Mini because they're new, so that even the first gen ones are going to be around for a while.
Yeah, and they're a little heavier, a little clunkier, but they still work.
Well, there is only one type of.
No, iPad. Not the minis. I'm talking about the conventional iPad.
Oh, the conventional iPads. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got an iPad too, and it's two generations old now,
and it works just fine.
Yeah, it's fine. And eventually, they'll sunset it, but I got a few more years with it. I am
just for one freaking game. Of course, I'm not going to go out and get an... I'm almost tempted to go get a Nexus 7 just for Android, just so I can play that stupid game.
Which one?
The one I mentioned a couple weeks ago, and I'm trying to think of the name of it now. I have an invitation to it. I want Debbie to start playing it so she can tell us about it. Oh, God. What was the name of it?
I don't know, but if you tell me, I'll write it down and ask her to start playing.
Michael, do you remember the name of it?
I can't remember the name. We have to go back to the show notes.
I'm trying to find... there's the show notes. Let's see. Where's my Google Drive window?
Okay, I'm going to go to the Book of Knowledge. You go to that.
Okay. It begins with an I. God, it sucks getting old.
I'm at a loss. I can't even guess the right direction you're going in.
Let's see. For some reason, I closed out my drive page.
Mm-hmm.
God, I think we talked about it like two shows ago.
Is it Ingress?
Ingress, that's it.
Ingress.
The Book of Knowledge comes through.
Yes, Ingress. It's it looks like a... I keep hearing about it on Todd Cochran's show, Geek News Central, because he and his kids are playing it in Hawaii. They live in Hawaii, and there's teams, and you go and attack these portals, but you do it over Wi-Fi, or I don't know how. I don't know that much about the game, because, frankly, I can't play it, but supposedly, you know, there's a lot of people getting into it, and it's by invitation only right now, but you can sign up for it, and you get an invitation pretty darn quick.
Uh-huh.
And then you download the game, and you start playing. You pick a team and start playing. I don't know how good it would be. In Nashua, you should be okay. Mm-hmm. Out here, you know, it's like, oh, look, there's two portals to attack. You know, that's the problem with living in a rural area. And I'd be curious to see how many portals are around. But it just sounds like a fun thing. Supposedly, I don't know, they give you instructions to go do things, and you gotta sometimes get out and go into a store or go to a certain place. Supposedly all post offices are portals, so that puts at least one in every town.
Okay.
So, but I don't know. I don't know what the rules and things are, because until you get the game.
Is it like an electronic scavenger hunt, but you physically have to go to a building?
Well, you got these portals, and you do have to go there, but then you got to defend the portals and things like that. Michael could be playing it on his Nexus 7, but then again, it's Copper Harbor, so, you know, they probably have exactly one portal, and his
storm the fort.
His better half works there.
Right.
Have to go storm the fort.
Yeah, go storm the fort, yeah. So, Michael, you should ask for a subscription too, and with the Nexus 7.
I'll remember to try that here.
Yeah, because I'm dying to find out more information about it. Supposedly, they're going to make it available on iOS one of these days, it definitely started off it's actually, I think it's made by Google, or at least maybe Google bought it or something, because it uses Google Maps for the mapping and all sorts of different Google things. So it was made for Android. So,
well, it sounds interesting. I'm sure she'll look into it.
She would like it, because she likes those kind of games. And
right, but if you could, I would say at nearly $4 a gallon, driving all over God's green earth just to check in at some place probably isn't going to happen.
Well, that's right. She got a magic. I don't know what she was doing the other day, but freaked out Michael.
Yeah, she sure did.
She still talks about it. She's like, we were talking about that today. She's like, those guys actually sat down and discussed how I pulled that off.
I got a phone call from Michael.
She actually found a loophole.
Yeah.
In the software in LinkedIn.
In LinkedIn?
Well, not LinkedIn.
Foursquare.
Foursquare.
Yeah.
So if Michael checks in at the Man Cave or at Bob's Burgers or at, you know, Jerry's French Fry Stand, and you're connected to Michael, then what you can do is check in through Michael at Jerry's French Fry
Stand. Oh, because you can see the site. Yes, right? And then you click on it to find out information about it, and it says, do you want to check in?
Right, but you don't get any points for it.
Right.
What it does is, she had one where she has a friend, several friends that are in the service, in the military, that's stationed in Afghanistan. So she checked in Afghanistan, and a military friend who's stationed in Italy, checked in Italy, and then checked in at Copper Harbor, all within about an hour and a half.
Mike, I get a Skype call from Michael. He goes, Barry. Yeah. Is Deb doing something on Foursquare, or is there something I don't know about? And I go, what are you talking about? She goes, well, she just checked into a place up here. I said, oh, wait a minute. I got a couple notices that she was checking. I said, well, she just checked into Gilmore Pond, too.
Yeah. She's like, these guys are going to be banging their heads on the wall for at least an hour over this. And I'm like, what did you do? She says, I checked in at Encore. She says, you weren't at my work. Edit that part out. But anyway.
Well, that's the thing is that I went through her page, and then, it's got the list of places she was checking in. I said, oh, man, she's either got a new tool or she's playing around somehow, because I said, she's checking into your work. She's checking into Copper Harbor. She's checking into Jaffrey. She's checking into France, I think, someplace, and Afghanistan. And
the funny thing is, too, when you had downloaded that new iPhone app, which automatically gives you a check-in as you drive by, and it's literally, she's like, how the hell am I going to keep up with this? She goes, all he has to do, he doesn't even have to get out of the car. He drives by the neighborhood. Click. Ding, he's checked in. Click.
Well,
ding, he's checked in.
Well, let me tell you something. There are some minuses to that, and this I don't understand. It's called Uber check-in, okay? Mm-hmm. And but the minus is if you check into too many places in a row, then all of a sudden you get this warning that a rapid check-in warning.
Right.
And then the app actually says, oh, you're checking in too much. We're throwing you into a wait for like an hour.
Yes, yes.
And it's like, oh, well, that's a pain. But then you go down into the thing and you can turn it off. So they give you an on-off switch. So I turn off the waiting period and say, no, I want you to, I know I may not get points and stuff like that. I don't care. I want the check-ins because there's, frankly, a couple of people I'm trying to oust them as a mayor. Mm-hmm. So I don't give a damn about the points, but I want the check-in. And so I turn the thing off, but then you go and check into the next place, and it goes, oh, rapid fire, and it turns it back on again. It's like, why the hell do you give us a switch to turn it off if it doesn't stay off?
Right.
You know, so then I'm quickly finding the check-in or the Foursquare app, and I'm checking in manually because there's a couple places I'm damn close to becoming mayor, and the thing just goes in, and I still think the damn thing's cheats because I'm going along, so you have to spread, even in Uber check-in, you have to spread them out, otherwise you get this rapid-fire check-in thing going,
right.
And so have the same pattern. I've been doing the same pattern now. I've got it down. All the check-ins work, going to work and everything. And I'm coming down one day, and Temple, New Hampshire is the next one. I'm like 2 days away from becoming mayor there. And I came down, and all of a sudden I get, and it's got a sad trombone sound when you can't check in, right? So I'm coming down, and all of a sudden, wah, wah. I'm like, what do you mean, wah, wah? I haven't changed anything. It says rapid fire check in. You've been here. Whoa, you've been here like 83 times. And I'm like, yeah, I haven't figured out how you get these warnings, except for like, oh, look, I'm getting close to becoming mayor, and all of a sudden now they're telling me I'm not going to be able to check in, or they put the rapid fire thing on. So then I pull up Foursquare and I check in anyway. Now I don't know whether it counts or not, but that kind of ticks me off. The whole Foursquare thing's beginning to piss me off a little bit, actually.
I actually don't use Uber anymore.
Don't you? Because
for a while. Well, yeah, it was checking me into places I really didn't care if I was checked into, and if I listed everything that was happening between here and Calumet, it was really drawing down my battery. Because then it was, again, I've got an iPhone 4.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't have the processor speed that you've got. So it's not checking in as fast. And by the time I go through everything, it's just like, you know, I'm just going to go back to checking into things as I get there.
Right.
And
well,
kind of losing it. You did notice the last item on my list, right?
No.
Foursquare.
Oh, was it? You've added stuff. Okay.
Let me look at it right now.
And speaking of which, yes, Barty's now on Foursquare.
That's it.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I don't think he's friended you yet on it. Yeah, I just got friended yesterday or Friday.
One person wants to be your friend. Add them. Who is it?
It's probably Barty.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah, he's doing something because he was all over the place yesterday. So,
very cool. I haven't looked at Foursquare in a while. You talk about bad processor speed. Try checking in with a BlackBerry.
Yeah,
you gotta plug the handle in and crank it 7,000 revolutions just to get it to think.
Yeah,
I guess it's no fun to line up all those Hollerith cards and run them through the reader.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, is this thing frustrating?
And truth being told, you know, I told you that I'm using the iPhone 4 now as kind of like a radio or, you know, internet thing. When I go to sleep and stuff, I you know, I have that charging all day, and I pop that off, and I use that as a radio.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, I never realized how much faster the iPhone 5 is to the iPhone 4 until I started using that, and I'm sitting there pressing. What the hell's wrong with this damn phone? It's so slow. You know, I'm like, it hasn't really changed. I just got a freaking faster phone now, and it's, you know, you quickly adapt to that speed, and then you go back to a iPhone 4, and it's like, oh my god.
What generation iPod is Apple up to now? Four generations of iPod Touch?
I don't know, because I've only owned one iPod, and it's
got
the circle on it.
Right.
The dial.
Well, they got used ones here on that store that we mentioned earlier, which is short money. Fourth generation for $149.
I don't know what generation.
How much memory, though?
That's the 8 gig one.
You don't get the 8 gig. It's not nearly enough.
The 32 gig is $209.
That's 32 gig is good.
Yes.
And the 64 gig is $249.
Oh geez, you might as well spend the extra $10.
Yeah, exactly. No, the extra $40.
$40. Well, yeah. You know what you do? Go up on the Apple site and find out what generation they're selling.
That's a good point.
Because I don't know. I don't keep up with the
iPods. Well, I mean, I'm not
going
to go buy one right now myself because I'm still saving my pennies up for a little Mac Mini. Hmm. That's my first, you know, big... Although, I'll tell you what, I'm really damn tempted because it would be nice to have an iPod Touch that just linked up with iTunes that would download my podcast to it and I could listen to it.
Well, you could get Downcaster.
Right. Or Downcast.
Yeah. iMessage, too, yeah.
iMessage, yeah. You can Skype. You can do your Skype calls on it, so you can still receive and send phone calls on it through Skype.
Yeah, it is kind of... Not that it's that difficult. Don't get me wrong. Using my... it's an HTC Incredible. Like I said, I just have the phone portion of it turned off. It mm-hmm. works exactly like an iPod in every other aspect.
Mm-hmm.
It's just trying to get... Because kudos to you guys here again, because when I'm driving to work, I find myself, yes, I listen to terrestrial radio, and yes, almost every morning I'm in the car, and I'm like, you know what? I just want to listen to something that doesn't stink. Something that doesn't, like, someone rambling on about, I don't know, tube socks or whatever. And I'm like, boy, I'd love to listen to a podcast right now about something I actually care about. and so I find myself scanning up and down the radio. And I'm like, ah, heck with it. I just want to hear some music. And it's all talk show this about something silly, talk show about that, something silly. And I'm like, yes, I have to start listening to podcasts driving to work.
Yeah. I started...
Years ago.
Beginning of 2005, right. And haven't looked back since.
Well, the only thing I like is that it gives me the traffic updates on the roads, because I travel on three major highways in New England. All of them are clogged up to junk. What do you mean?
If you use even Apple mapping thing and or Google Maps, show you all the in real time, show you the snarls and everything. They turned the road red.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't work real good on the BlackBerry.
Because it's actually more accurate than what you get on the radio. Because I don't know how many times that when I used to listen to the radio, they said, this is all snarled up. And I'm like, really? I'm driving through it right now. Your report's about 20 minutes old.
Right. Good point.
Yeah, so, yeah, a good smartphone is worth its weight in gold for all that information. And if something's breaking, like the other day, something was breaking. Yeah, the Boston thing was breaking. Did I turn on my radio? No. I was getting these little beep, beep, beep push notifications from Channel 5. Oh, and okay. And I click on it, and it actually, well, I wasn't watching it, but I was listening to it. It actually popped up videos, live streaming videos of what was going on. But I was just listening to it on, you know, in the car way home. But so, you know, it's like, it's the miracle tool. That's all I can say.
It's the miracle, listen to
it. It really is the miracle tool. Everything you want is in this one little device.
So. I wouldn't know. Haven't got one yet. Mm. Getting close to getting to that point, though. This BlackBerry almost ended up through a wall this afternoon during a phone conversation.
You know, you can get an iPhone 4 for like $99 now.
Yeah, and I'm actually thinking about doing that and then having all my phone calls from this thing pushed over to the iPhone. Because it's getting kind of... This thing mutes. It mutes during a phone. Well, it's happened to how many times I've talked to you. Yeah. I'm just holding it next to my ear, and you're like, hey, what? Hello? Hello? Walking away.
Are you there? Are you there?
And this is like the fourth one I've had. So it's either I have a head that wipes out hardware and BlackBerries because of my brain power. Brain waves are killing the thing. Or they suck.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you ought to seriously look into that because... yeah, there's special deals and stuff, and you can probably, your wife is on Virgin Mobile, I think.
Yeah, Virgin Mobile, which is awesome. Those guys, the thing always works. Well, it works off the Sprint network, so all the Sprint towers. But I mean, it works off of any tower, but it works primarily piggybacks on Sprint. And I'll be honest with you, man, their service it just rocks. It works everywhere we go.
You ought to check to see if they've got the iPhone.
They do.
Well, there you go.
They do.
Yeah. Get the... I don't know. When they say the iPhone 4, is that the actual iPhone 4 or is it the 4S that they have?
The 4 is free. The 4S is $99, last I checked.
Okay. So the 4S is a little bit better, a little bit faster than the 4. 4 is free if you sign up?
Right.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Verizon?
Yeah, the 4S has got a better camera, though. I think it's both Verizon and AT&T.
I don't know. I don't know.
But check what Virgin Mobile has.
I'm on their website right now.
Of course you are.
And iPhones, view all. And no, they're not free. They're still a little... I wouldn't go so far as to call them pricey, but the iPhone 4S is $440.
Oh, that means you don't have a contract, then.
Yeah, these are non-contracted.
Okay, right.
Oh, okay.
And then the iPhone 4 is $350. Yeah.
Okay, they're not contracted because that's, you know... who started doing that now? Is it T-Mobile?
Yeah.
Started doing that, the non-contract contract?
Yeah. Virgin Mobile, all of their phones are non-contract.
Okay.
It's $35 a month for unlimited data, unlimited messaging, unlimited... that's unlimited data and messaging, and then you pay for your talk, which, let's face it, you're always doing data more than you are talking.
Right.
And with Skype, it's a data. It's not a phone call.
That's right. That's true.
But for $35 a month, unlimited data on your iPhone, how can you go wrong?
Yeah. Seriously. Well, you ought to look into that, and then, you know, if they've got some kind of deal where you can pay off the phone in time.
Oh, yeah. You buy it up front.
Yeah. You can either buy it up front, lay down the money, or sometimes they have a deal where what they're doing now is they have the contract. The reason why my phone bill is so high is because I'm paying for the frickin' phone on time, basically.
You're financing a phone.
Well, I'm not. You don't finance it. It's part of the contract. Your contract's higher because... You got an iPhone. That's why you have to keep it for 2 years, because you're basically paying off the phone for 2 years.
But
now what they're doing is starting to split that up. So chances are, you know, you're paying $35 a month. You know, they might add $20 a month for the phone if they do that kind of thing. Uh-huh. So your bill would be like $55, but, you know, instead of having to come up with the money up front, the best deal is if you can come up with the money up front. But, you know, these smartphones are rather on the pricey side when you pay for them straight out.
Right.
They're freaking computers. So.
So, yeah, their plans are really, really cheap, though. $45 a month, unlimited data, texting, messaging, and you get 1,200 anytime talk minutes to any phone anywhere, 1,200 minutes, and then it's free at night. So it's like for $45 a month, that's for unlimited, and they don't throttle you.
Yeah.
That's one thing I noticed. They do not throttle your data. If you can just have every friggin' app burning up battery juice, and it's not throttled.
And by the way, just to let you know, when I am in the car, my phone's plugged in. I don't run off of batteries in the car.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. My batteries do. There are certain apps that do drain your batteries quite quickly.
Yeah. So. Foursquare used to do that actually to my other, my old BlackBerry, and I bought the extended battery so I could really let the agony last longer while trying to use it.
Yeah.
And, and literally, so I bought the extended battery, and but Foursquare used to burn through that pretty darn quick.
Yeah. All right, let's continue on because we're going late. Michael's got a bunch of topics I want to get to because I'm curious. Home improvement
stuff.
Some
we can skip, though. But, yeah, the home improvement. I talked a couple shows ago about the kitchen sink repair with the saran wrap and the electrical tape over that, duct tape over that. Well, you know, that held up well.
Okay.
But I also talked about Pat's Festival Foods and True Value.
Right.
So I had stopped and gotten the parts I needed. Well, they had a lot of in-between things to do today. We had a family breakfast off at one of the restaurants in town and came back, and youngest son went to go split wood, go figure, and haul wood around town. So he was doing that, and my neighbor has just converted to an iMac, and his wife's got a MacBook Pro, and so I went over and started explaining, you really do want to use Time Machine, and this is what you need to back up. And we imported some stuff from their old PCs. And, they still need to do some things in the Windows world, so I'm explaining Boot Camp. They don't want to go with Parallels or Fusion right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But as we get these big backups going, we get something going. It was going to be an hour and a half before it was done. So I was like, well, what else I got to do? Well, let's see here. First of all, I've got two faucets in the shower/bathtub that don't shut off all the way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Been meaning to get to those, so I had dug through my old farm supplies in the garage. And one thing about having a farm at one time is you've got everything. I've got the washers. I've got the O-rings. I've got the faucet reamers, everything. I just had to go find them.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing it is, I took the knobs off and took the trim off and looked at the shower stall. It's one of these big one-piece things.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend who built the house had drilled holes for the stems from the valves coming through.
All right.
That's how big he made the hole.
Oh.
You get where I'm going with this.
Oh, there ain't no room.
And there's this big old nut, you know, which you have to get to with a extended socket set.
Yeah.
To get the valve assembly out. But with the stem sticking through, you can't get in there with a hole saw. So
oh, God.
I spent an hour going voopa, voopa, voopa. Cut each one of those out very carefully and then with a file smooth them out again so that I could get a good size socket in there to get to the valve assembly to unscrew it so I could replace the quarter inch washer at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But now all that works good, and that took. It should have been like a 10-minute job because I haven't done it in a while,
mm-hmm. Right?
But it took me a little bit over an hour and a half. Got it all together just in time to have my neighbor call and say, "Okay, the first part's done." So I ran over there, switched over to the next phase of the backup procedure, and got that going. And
mm-hmm.
then I came over with big pipe wrenches and everything, and took the strainer assemblies out of the sink and ripped all the old pipes out. And I was very pleased to see that when I pulled the old pipes out, they were clean on the inside.
Well, that's excellent.
Yeah, and we must be living right again, along with brushing your teeth properly. Oh, the house is relatively new. The house was built in 87.
Okay.
So, then I got all that cleaned out. But, yeah, it was not a pleasant surprise to pull that trim off and see that just the stem sticking through the shower stall and not a hole big enough to get in there and pull a valve assembly out.
Yeah, at least you don't, pull something apart and find that somebody did some jackass thing that your house is just, a millimeter away from falling over, like my house.
No, the house was built well, but I do have a problem coming up tonight, and that's a couple of items down the list. But one thing happened when the weather got up to, did get up to 60 today. And my main propane, has been sitting at about 18% for the last week. Apparently, the gauge had stuck.
Oh, no.
The gauge unstuck.
And you're empty. And
it's zero.
Oh, no.
Now, I still have heat, but it's zero. I'm expecting to run out tonight.
Unbelievable.
Oh, jeez. So. And when can you get propane up there?
The next delivery from the company is Friday.
Oh, jeez. That's a long way off.
So the man cave will be unheated, is what you're saying?
No. The house.
Holy smokes. That's not acceptable. I'd be making a couple of phone calls.
The man cave has heat.
But Michael.
Yes?
On Wednesday, it's going to be May 1st. So, I don't see the problem you have.
It still gets
heating the house.
40, 38 degrees at night.
Yeah, the hot water heater is propane, not electric.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I will be driving the hour and a half down to the facility to get a 100-pound tank.
Yeah.
I was going to say, grab a couple 100-pounders and throw them in the back of the truck.
A 100-pounder will be enough. But, I'll get the buy order in tomorrow, but it dropped 18% in one day.
Wow!
So that had to be a stuck gauge.
Yes, definitely. Either that, or you got an outside leak.
Hey, let me ask you this. Let me just throw this in real quick. Once that runs out, and I'm just thinking outside of the box here, and boom, runs dry, and you're like, okay, great, I got to purge the gas through for the hot water and for the furnace. That might be the ideal time to remove that gauge and replace it with a new one that doesn't stick. Because I'm thinking you're already going to be out of gas to begin with. Time to change that gauge so it doesn't happen to you again.
Yeah, but do you own the tank or does the...
No, the service does.
Yeah, so they're the ones that are going to have to do that.
Well, I tell them, change that gauge because, now it's, inconvenient but tolerable because you can go down and get a 100-pounder and keep the house up and running.
Right.
But, dead middle of winter, say next, come December, and we're sitting here talking and you go, the gauge is at 18, but it's been that way for 5 days. That's not the time to find out that you're basically running on fumes. Pardon the pun.
As I said, it will run out tonight. I have no doubt about that, but
well,
and I just checked the forecast, by the way. We are looking at snow Wednesday through Friday.
God, you are kidding me. I was freaking joking.
I don't expect any accumulation, but yeah, we're
supposed to
snow.
Be May, man. There's no
will be
way
May.
It's snow. It's just snow in May.
It's just late. It's just going to be a light snowstorm. We're only going to get 12 inches.
Just 12 inches. Just something. Just flurries.
Right.
God, I am really sorry, Michael, because I was thinking about you when I was sitting out in the backyard this afternoon, and I was cleaning the guy. We got the gas grill out in the back now, and I found out the proper way Weber says to clean the gas grill is to turn all the burners on high and let it sit there for 15 minutes, and it burns everything off. It gets up to 600 degrees and just basically
cooks the entire inside.
Yeah, but there goes 20 pounds. There's a 20-pound propane bottle now cooked away. Go on, 600 degrees.
Yeah, but it's sterilized. I haven't used it all winter. So it's ready for the grill now. Grilling time now.
You know what also works really good?
What?
Easy Off.
I was thinking about that, but I want to check with them because I don't know whether they have any kind of special... Yeah, they've got paint on the inside and stuff, so I
all your grates are enameled. They're enamel coated, and it's a stainless steel inside, so you can spray it in there. Then when you crank the heat up, all the cooking stuff will, right, you can hose it out.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was going to double check it just to make sure because it's an expensive grill, and I don't want to screw it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so. I'll be honest with you. I've done it in grills of the past. I don't do it in any of my grills now. As a matter of fact, I don't even clean the lava rock in mine because I turned my grill also into a smoker, so it does both.
Yeah.
And what you want for good smoke is the old drippings, the grease, and the barbecue sauce, and you rotate your stones, and that's what smokes the meat while it cooks it.
Well, and so I did what Weber says to do, like I said, and it was, you know, just put it on high for 15 minutes. I set a timer, and yeah, the thing got up to 600 degrees, and it was cranking, and and then I turned them off and let it naturally cool down, and then when it was done, I looked at it inside, and yeah, it's like doing a not self-cleaning oven, but I guess it is self-cleaning.
It is self-cleaning, yeah. Yeah. You burn everything off.
Yeah, you just burn everything off. So it did the trick, so I was happy. I said, well, that's a lot easier than sitting there scrubbing the damn thing. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, okay, what's TPT SBN0?
I don't know.
A podcast that shall not
die. Oh, okay. We already talked about that. Now, what are you going to do with this podcast? Just weird things that pop up?
Yeah, to me, that's it's been re-inspired by Bob's stuff, actually.
It's
something where I just got an idea, and I just want to throw out 8 to 14 minutes worth of podcast.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
that's what this is going to be.
So it's going to be
a
shorty.
It's not a feed burner yet. I'll let you know when as soon as it is. But the site is up.
Okay, I'll go check it out and I'll subscribe because I definitely want
to. As soon as it's subscribable.
Oh, you don't have an RSS feed there yet?
I don't have an RSS feed yet. I gotta do that.
Jeez, what's taking you so long?
Oh, now I'll have to do it before you release the show.
Come on. I got feeds up that for shows that I've been thinking about for 5 years. Anyway, okay, yeah, the podcast shall not be named. That's good. Okay, I wasn't quite sure.
In other words, it's the podcast that you will not type into your web browser URL if you're drunk, because you'll never get it.
That's great that you got that name. That's fun.
Yeah, I'm shocked that I got that name. Mm. I'm going to have fun with that.
So you actually walked to the falls?
To one of them, yes. We've got falls all over the place.
Or were you falling as you walked?
Sorry. What?
Or were you falling as you walked? Tried to walk with all the snow.
He's on a roll, Michael. He's on a roll.
Come on. Work with me here. Work with me.
You just yes him to death, and that's what I do. Okay.
Yeah. Come on. I once shot an elephant in my pants. How he got in my pants, I'll never know.
Hey, how you doing? There you go. That's what I need, the rim shot.
So, yeah, I put pictures up on Facetube last night about it. And,
yeah, they look great.
Oh, you got to see them. Cool.
No, I didn't. Cool. I'm being facetious.
Oh. Well, talk to your wife about it. She can see them.
Yeah.
Oh, I did see them. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, my wife felt like she in a rare time where she had some energy recently. And you can't, it's about a mile and a half walk uphill through heavy snow. You saw the pictures.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
That is a road. You can't tell it really, but it is a road. But there's no way that you could drive it right now. And the snow is starting to melt. You know, it's certainly not clearing yet, but the waterfalls are starting to really flow. So I got some good videos out of that, too. I haven't put anything up on the Dropbox yet, but I will.
Okay. Well.
So we had a nice walk up to the falls, and the snow is so deep, you can't tell where this snow is supported by something underneath it, and where it's not as you get near the cliffs for the falls. So Chris wanted to take some pictures, and I literally held on to the back of her coat in case things gave out from underneath her.
Oh, jeez.
But we got some good shots, and then we walked back to town. And as we're walking back into town to go pick up the Jeep again, we could just tell it was going to be a decent sunrise, or sunset, excuse me. So drove a little bit out of town, and you'll see I took some more pictures for sunset.
Yes, I saw those. I definitely saw those last night.
Yeah. So just a good walk, exercise, fresh air. But still, as you can tell, lots of snow.
Well, that's okay. It makes you appreciate the summer even more.
Yeah, all month of it. You're right.
When you're up on Brockway Mountain on the 4th or June 20th, eating midnight pizza.
Yep. I'm going to actually have to get up there soon, snow or no snow, because the wind has died down. And the internet up here is still powered by wind, and that's I've noticed the batteries have been dropping, so I'm going to have to get up there and switch to solar power pretty quick here.
Ah, okay. Jeez. All right, what's Vox PopCon?
Well, I just discovered that last night through a notification from Anthony Marco of Discultured.
Okay.
Looks like he is picking up the gauntlet from Podcasters Across Borders.
Ah.
And it's called it Vox PopCon. It's tentatively scheduled for the middle of July this year. They were going to try to do June right in the middle of WWDC, and they moved it. I'm glad, because there's no way I'd be able to do that. And it's going to be in Hamilton, Ontario.
Which is where?
Which is southwest of Toronto.
Oh, that's not too far away.
So, yeah. So, well, it's for me, I still got to drive around a whole bunch of lakes, so it's, I don't think it's any closer than Ottawa. But I'm interested. I'm going to see if I can try to pull it off. It's got a busy summer this summer, so I don't know. Between WWDC, and you guys know I got someplace else to go in May, and August I've got a family reunion in Oregon. So,
oh, wow.
I suppose I should work sometime during the summer.
Yeah, it
we'll,
might help.
We'll get that in there.
Wow, Vox PopCon. Do they have a website?
Yes, yes. If you type in Vox PopCon,
I will
get to the website
check
and see
it
what's
out.
Going on.
Because I'm still an avid listener of Discultured. I like their show.
Yeah, I have a blast listening to those guys when I can.
Yeah, they have a. I'm several months behind with them because I have my podcasts lined up that, you know, stuff. I listen to stuff that's very dated first, because, you know, if you don't listen to it in the same week you download it, it's not worth anything the next week. So I listen to them first, but Discultured, even though they talk about current events, it's kind of like they talk about and discuss it, so theirs can wait. You know, I find that they're, even though I'm listening to stuff like they did in February now, it's still very topical, and I enjoy it. So I'm several months behind on them, but I did notice that they do have a Google Plus community now. And I might go join that, but I went up and checked it out, and it was actually the four of them and one other guy. So we might have to go and join so that they feel...
Okay, yeah, we'll have to go join, yes.
So that they feel like... I know they've got a lot of listeners, but people aren't glomming on to Google+. And, of course, they don't know me from Adam, so... Oh, and Adam's one of their... No, that's right. They have... I forget what the other guy's name is. Oh, God.
Well, there's Shane and Anthony and...
Anthony, that's right. Because it's Anthony Curry, right?
No, Adam Curry.
No.
Anthony Marco.
Anthony Adam Marco. Curry. No, it's not Adam Curry.
It's...
I can't think of his name now. I'll have to go look it up.
I'm sorry, guys.
But I always think of Adam Curry when I hear his name.
You know, Anthony does know who you are because I know he's listened to this show.
Okay.
Well, okay.
And said, oh, those guys are a bunch of frickin' right-wing nutcases.
They're nice enough to give me a shout-out whenever I tune in.
So I know. I've heard you...
When I'm listening live.
I've heard you mentioned a couple times on the chat room. They say who's in the chat room. And I've heard the virtual Uper several times on there. So, Okay, your boots came in.
Yes, number 19's boots have come in.
Wow.
They didn't have... They didn't.
Okay. I wasn't sure what you were talking about there. I was going to say, wow, all that snow and you finally got boots? But now I know. It's the fireman boots.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. My back. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You missed that?
Yes.
I did. Okay. Never mind.
I guess I'll hear it on the show.
Yeah, you will. But they're your fireman boots that you got.
Yes. Okay. My fireman boots. Yes. I basically had a pair of barn boots because they didn't have a pair of fire retardant boots that would fit me.
So
actually, I have to go check that out tonight after the show. The fire chief called me and said, "Oh, go make sure those fit right and get those in your locker properly." No, yes, sir, I'll do that.
Wow, cool! And I see a couple of HF frequencies here, and
yes,
ITM for in the morning.
Yes, well, apparently the No Agenda listeners who are hams have been congregating at 7.033 and 14.033 megahertz, which are CW frequencies. And instead of calling CQ, they're calling ITM. Did it da, da, da. Did it da.
I'll have to tune in and listen.
So I'm going to have to check that out.
Of course, I don't do Morse code very well, so.
All right, well, we'll work on that.
Yes. And,
made a couple of comments about I'm still listening to the last week's show. Sorry I couldn't be there for the whole one, but very fitting that you two were there. I mean, you guys are the core of the QRM community, so I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
It's everybody.
Yeah, it is. It's all of us. That's what makes it up. It's a family.
Oh, it's a blast.
Yeah,
it's absolutely a blast. And boy, you put some work in that montage. I'm impressed.
Well, I got to be honest with you. You know where all those quotes came from?
Where?
They're all pre-show stuff.
Really?
Yes. It was all pre-show stuff because it was a lot easier to review the pre-show stuff than to go through an entire show. I mean, there's 90, well, at the time, there were 90 freaking shows to go through, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it was kind of already because, you know, either the pre-show or I'd grab something out of the middle of the show. You know, I would grab the funny stuff. So I said, well, the pre-show is kind of all funny. So that's where I grabbed all that stuff from. It made the job a little easier considering I started working on it like Friday night and finished it off Saturday afternoon. So, but...
Wow.
Yeah. But it was neat. It was fun. It was... It was fun trying to get it right with the music and everything. So,
that's cool.
Because montages are, when they do the best of shows and everything like that, when you hear people say, oh, we're not going to be on during Christmas week, we're going to have a best of show. The producers are out there going, oh, Christ, no. Please, no, not a best of show. They are the toughest things to put together.
Wow.
They are super hard. Not only do you have to research everything. Actually, the Twit Brickhouse got smart about it. A lot of their podcasts, they say, Tech News Today I know does this. They say if there's any bits and pieces that you liked or thought was funny or think you should be in the... They make this announcement quite often. Think should be in a best of show. Go ahead and... email the time in the show and the time in the show that it was. So they let the listeners go ahead and participate in that job. Because, yeah, that's a hassle. It really is a hassle to do a best of. So 802.16 soon. Is that the AC?
No, that's WiMAX.
Oh, WiMAX. Okay.
WiMAX. We are upgrading our backhaul to WiMAX in 4 weeks.
Really? Now, what do you have now for backhaul?
It's proprietary, but it's basically 802.11.
Okay.
It's commercial, but it's
okay.
It's basically 802.11. So this is going to be pretty much a 10x bump.
Oh, nice!
And it's going to bypass the main backhaul. It's not going to bypass Brockway entirely and go right down to the Air Force Base.
Sweet. So, we can use video.
Yes.
It's potentially going to be a huge bump for the town.
Wow. Very cool. And speaking, well, I'm going to throw something in here too. I've got it, the latest and greatest copy of VidBlaster. So if we do have any new podcasts that we'd like to do, I am starting to relearn VidBlaster because it's changed a lot since the last time I played with it. Uh-huh. And I said, well, I really want to put it on my fastest machine, which is my MacBook Pro. And I said, I need to get Windows on there. So I went through on Friday night. I went through I was up until like 3 o'clock in the morning doing this. I have a spare external drive, small one that came out of one of the old MacBook Pros when I upgraded the hard drive. So I plugged that in and I used Parallels and I installed Windows 7. Now, of course, the way that I had to do that was first install Windows XP because it was an upgrade. And I found out my Windows XP was an upgrade, so then I had to go find an original disk and shove that in at a certain time to prove that I had Windows and blah, 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 blah. Needless to say, I got Windows 7 up and running in Parallels on my MacBook Pro from an external hard drive, and the thing is lightning fast. It's unbelievable. It's great. So I downloaded VidBlaster and stuck it on there, and it's running great in Parallels. Mm-hmm. So you know, if we want to do those little, there's a couple podcasts we were talking about doing that might be like little video things, if amateur radio thing or whatever. I've got the tools back up and running now, so I gotta play with them a little bit and relearn them. But we're available. But the thing there is how lovely Windows 7 runs on my MacBook Pro now through Parallels.
Nice.
So that's cool. And then last night I was up late just to tell you, because when I put Windows 7 on the MacBook Pro, I failed to turn on any kind of protection. And last night I brought it up, and sure enough, I got a freaking virus in it.
Really?
Yeah, that quick. I mean, and so then I had to scramble and get some virus protection stuff on there and scan the freaking drive and get all that cleaned up. And I was like, geez, you know, I installed the damn thing. I mean, literally, it wasn't up maybe but 3 hours before it got a freaking virus on it. So needs to say it's virus protected now also, but unbelievable. Could not believe I got a virus on it that fast.
What are you using, by the way?
I got the Kerpasky. That's it. Something like it. It comes with Parallels, and so I installed it from Parallels. And it's only 30 days now. When I used to when I ran it on here, I just used the Windows stuff, but I have to go in and the built-in Windows stuff. I just got to go in and turn that on, I guess, because I don't really want to pay for virus protection if I don't have to. And from all indications, what I've heard from other people that are Windows people, they say the stuff that's built into Windows itself, you have to turn it on, works fine, and you really don't need to subscribe to any other thing out there. So I'm going to look into turning that on. But I was up until 3 o'clock in the morning last night, you know, trying to clean that mess up. Uh-huh. So, good thing it was in a virtual machine and it did not affect my MacBook in any other way. Of course, it won't. Because it's a Mac. But, yeah, I was just surprised to see that happen. So, what's going on with the TARDIS?
Well, that was my accusation of Jash's wife once she started traveling all over the place within an hour.
Four square.
And then she replied to me, "Have TARDIS will travel."
Yes, indeed.
Okay. With that, we're out of topics, and that's probably good because the clock here, we're about going on about 2 hours right now. So
we're getting
to be those podcasts we hate, 2 hour podcasts. But that's okay. It's been fun. We have a musical guest tonight. The musical guest is Mikey and the Drag. I can't read it. Drags. That's what I thought it said. I gotta use the handy capable zoom in feature on my MacBook Pro to read. There we go. Now I can read it. Mikey and the Drags and their song, Spill Your Guts. So, again, we want to say to all the military out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, thanks for what you're doing, keeping us safe, doing what you're doing for very little pay, mind you, and believe me, I know that for a fact. Thanks for what you're doing. You're asked to do an awful lot, and you do it, and you don't complain, and you barely get paid for doing it. So thank you, and you guys especially that are OCONUS, we hope you get back home to your family and friends real soon. So, with that, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Josh.
And from the suburbs of Copper Harbor, with much better audio than podcast number one of Late Night QRM, I'm Michael, the Virtual Yeeper.
And we'll see you next week. Here's Mikey and the Drags.
Don't you cry, don't feel
Samson, speak. Good boy.